Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, looking at the first 11 verses. I thought as we were going through the book of Galatians, where Paul is so profoundly defending the gospel, it might be nice to preach the gospel in the midst of it. I know that we have obviously we have preached the gospel in the midst of the book of Galatians. But I just wanted to enjoy the gospel message together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether if it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." This letter of Corinthians is actually one of the first books of the New Testament, right around the time when Paul wrote Galatians. And so these are somewhat contemporary, so it's, I think, fitting for us to think about the gospel coming here from 1 Corinthians 15 as it does from Galatians, where he is defending it. And Paul starts off by saying, "Brethren, I'm going to declare to you the gospel that I preached unto you back when he was with them. But not only that I preached unto you, but you received. You welcomed it." He was there in Corinth for about a year and a half with them. And when he was preaching to them, they received the gospel. And they stood in the gospel. It was the thing that helped them to stand against the world, was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was something that was necessary for their daily walk. And I think that sometimes we forget that. We forget that the gospel message that is the saving thing is also the continuing thing. It's the sanctifying thing. It's the thing that helps us each and every day. It is the idea that the world today will say, "Oh, well, you have to find your self-worth." Well, I don't find my self-worth in myself. I find my self-worth in Christ. And when I remember the gospel, when I remember the fact that Jesus died for me, well, my worth is inestimable. It can't be contained, because the blood of the Son of God was shed on my behalf. And that's going to raise my spirits. That's going to raise my prospects, if you will. Not prospects for worldly success, not prospects for even spiritual success in the idea of fruit, but success in Christ. Because I'm looking to Christ, and he has looked to me. And that's an amazing thing. And so he says, that gospel that you've received, you also stand in. Because it's the same thing that you were saved in, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, you got to keep it in memory. You know, there's an old thing back in the States, at least. And my mother was always certainly under this impression that she could believe on one day and then forget about it and just go about her life for the next 40-odd years. It doesn't work that way. It's not just, "Oh, I believed that day." It is my continuing belief. He says, "By which ye are also saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." Keep in memory the gospel that saved you. And that is going to further you in the standing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, he delivered the same exact thing that was delivered unto him. And that's the way it is, isn't it? So I'm not anything special. You're not anything special. We are just transmitters of that same gospel. Paul was a transmitter. He received something, and he passed it on. Isn't that what an electric wire does? It receives electricity from a source and passes it on to whatever is at the end of the lead. That's the idea. We're passing on the same thing that we've received. That's what Paul has done, and that's what has been going on ever since. We keep passing on the same gospel, and Lord willing, there will be others to stand, whether it's in this spot exactly or other places here in Harrogate, passing on the same gospel years from now, unless the Lord comes first. It's the gospel that makes the reason for us to gather together. And Paul received that gospel, and he shared that gospel, and we've received that gospel, and we share that gospel. What is it? Well, the gospel means good news. It's good news. There's all sorts of good news in the world, and you always hear those people, they say, oh, what do you want, the good news or the bad news? And some people will take the good news first, and some people will take the bad news first. Well, a part and parcel of the gospel is understanding the bad news. Because what Paul says is he delivered that which he received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. You see, we're sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the gospel of the glory of God. There is no way we can attain to God's glory. There is no way for us to be acceptable in the sight of God in and of ourselves. It's impossible. That's the bad news. So it's the bad news first. But the good news is there's hope. There's hope in Christ. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins according to the scriptures. And the scriptures Paul's talking about is the Old Testament. We're not going to go and look through all the passages, but you're certainly welcome to go to the Old Testament and look at all the passages that talk about Christ dying for our sins. You can look at Psalm 22. You can look at Psalm 23. You can look at Isaiah 53. You can look at Psalm 50. You can look at throughout the scriptures and find all these passages that are speaking about why the Messiah will die. He's going to die. He's going to die for the sins of his people. That's his purpose. And when he does, he's going to go into the grave to prove that he died. He's going to be buried, but he will rise again the third day. And in that resurrection, he is going to show that he had victory over sin and death to everyone who believes. So that anyone who comes to Christ and believes upon him, trusts him, seeks forgiveness at his feet, will have eternal life. And that's the proof, the resurrection. And the rest of a large portion of the rest of the chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is about the resurrection and the proof of the resurrection. And he even goes in it into these verses. And he says, oh, at first he was seen of Peter, Cephas, then of the 12, and then 500 brethren at once. And finally he was seen by Paul himself a number of years later. Why is that important? It's the proof of the gospel. You know, there's more written, more eyewitness accounts written down about Jesus Christ and his resurrection than there is about Alexander the Great. We think we know all these things about Alexander the Great. There's more written, contemporaneous things written, meaning that right there in his time, about Christ than about Alexander the Great, than Julius Caesar, than all sorts of historical figures that we just take as, boy, they're cemented fact. And yet, there is more about Christ. And there's more about his resurrection to prove that he rose from the dead. That if you were building a court case and you were given all of the documents about Jesus Christ, and you had a court case and you sat down and one team was the prosecution saying he did rise and the other team was the defense saying he didn't rise, any lawyer that was looking at just the facts would have to say, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The evidence is overwhelming in favor of him rising from the dead. That's the way it is. Why did he do it? Just to prove that he could? No. He did it to prove that he had victory over sin and over death to all who believe. That was his purpose. That's the gospel that Paul is talking about. It's the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried according to the scriptures, and rose again the third day. According to the scriptures. And he was seen. And what is the answer? Well, it's belief. Belief. Trust. Faith. Coming to Christ. The Philippian jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's not a complicated issue, but it is an issue. Because you must believe. You must trust him. It's not easy to trust people. It's not easy to set aside your own confidence in yourself and say, I'm trusting someone else. My wife and I frequently will have friendly disagreements about the remote control, because one person wants control. They want to be able to turn up the volume and turn down the volume, or fast forward, or change the channel. We want control. That's who we are. We're human beings. We want control of our own selves, of our own life. But the gospel says that your control has led you to sin and led you to death. You have to give control to Christ. That's trust. That's saying He has done it. He's made the way. He's done the work. I need to trust Him. I have to give myself over to what He thinks, to what He wants. That's trust. That's belief that He is the one who has paid the price, that He is the one that has taken the punishment, that He is the one who has the righteousness to provide for me. And even though it is simple, it's not easy, because you have to come to the end of yourself. You have to come to the end of yourself and recognize that you are not enough, that your control has led to failure. That's the way life is. That's the bad news. But there's hope. That's the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of the kingdom. And it is about preaching that and transmitting that from one to another and saying Christ is the answer. So you have to ask yourself, is the gospel true? Have you received the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you believe it? Has it transformed your life? Because it is transformative. You are a different person because of it. You're not the same old one. You're not who you used to be. You're a new creature because you're now made alive when you were dead in your sins. So do you receive it? Do you believe it? And do you stand in it? Is it what makes the difference day in and day out? When you go to work, when you go to school, when you are around friends or around neighbors, is it in your mind? Or is it just something that you slice up a little section of your day for? Or a little section of your week for? Or is it the thing that's always there? People say, well, how could Paul do all that he did? How could he have the mindset of it didn't matter what happened to him? How could he set aside all the earthly things, the physical things? Well, it's because he lived standing in the gospel every day. Every day he said, you know what? Jesus Christ died for me. That makes the difference today. I can go through today understanding that, and my day will be different than it would be if I didn't. If I didn't remember that, my day would be a wreck. It might be successful from the world's eyes, but from God's eyes, it's a wreck. If we remember that, then we're standing in the gospel. Think back to Galatians. Galatians, when Paul is talking to Peter, and he says, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. What is the truth of the gospel? Walked uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. He's saying, look, the gospel says Christ has paid the price. The gospel says it is not your efforts. The gospel says we look to Him, not to ourselves. There is truth that follows after that each and every day. Do we think we have the strength to pay our bills? Do we think we have the strength to accomplish some great thing? You don't. You don't have that strength. Christ does. That's where faith comes from. It's trusting Him. Trusting Him for the ability to pay your bills. Trusting for Him for the ability to get up in the morning. Every night you go to sleep, there's faith involved that you're going to close your eyes and that you're going to wake up the next day. There's no guarantee, is there? All sorts of people die in their sleep every day, every night. What's the promise? There isn't one. There isn't one about your day tomorrow, but there is a one about Jesus Christ. And that is, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the hope that we have. And any other hope is built on sand. And that's why Paul says the gospel wherein you stand. Do you stand? Do you stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it your calling card? Is it the compass of your life? Because that's what it was for Paul, and that's what he desired for the Corinthians, and that's what we desire for each other, that the gospel would be the focal point of our lives, that it would be the very thing that pushes us and drives us, not glory for ourselves, not comfort for ourselves, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see souls saved, to see them grow in Jesus Christ. What a glory that is. And to know that there's going to be someone else doing the same thing, transmitting that message, receiving it and passing it on to the next person, to the next generation, whoever may come, if the Lord tarries. And so I want you to think about it. It's not a long message. It's not a profound message. It is a simple message, but it's not an easy message. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ today, and thou shalt be saved. We point you to Him. Amen.